Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oaks. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and founder of David Oaks Ministries and Israel Study Tours with David Oaks. Thanks for joining me again for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Well, remember our website, if you would, please, davidoaksministries.org. That is davidoaksministries.org. Log on and take part in the Healing School. Listen to it. Download the Healing School. Find out about our works in Israel, upcoming trips. Watch the videos that are on the website and be blessed by its content. Glory to God. Now, over the past few podcasts, we have been studying the subject of miracles in one fashion or form or another. And we looked first at the categorizing miracles because we wanted to see the tendencies of the Almighty God in using his miracle power so that we could learn to believe for and expect miracles in our life. If you don't know how God acts, then you're not going to have basis for faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. And without faith, it is impossible to receive from the Lord God Almighty. So if we find out how that he is going to use his power, his tendencies, glory to God, then we'll be able to release our faith and expect his miracle power to be functioning in our lives, and not only our lives, but in our families' lives and loved ones' lives. Then we went on and we've been looking at conduits for miracles. We wanted to see concerning people and things in this earth that are conduits for miracles to happen. And we looked last time we were together in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, concerning the event that occurred with Naaman, the king of Syria. And he was an honorable man. He was a good guy. He was a mighty man of valor. And he had in his service a young servant girl from the northern tribes of Israel when the Assyrians came down and took captive the children of Israel in the northern part. Well, he had one of these captive girls as his servant. And this man was a leper, as the Bible states, and she focused attention to the healing power of God. Now, this young girl is unnamed. The Bible doesn't tell us her name. She is unknown, and she's uncelebrated. I mean, this girl, we don't even have her name. And so sometimes, my friends, miracles, the conduit for miracles, come from things that aren't famous. You know, some people think, well, if I can go to this great minister's meeting or I can go to this great minister's meeting, surely I'll get a miracle. Let me tell you what, folks, miracles come sometimes by unnamed, unknown, and uncelebrated people. You know, we have had many situations in our miracle ministry. Many people don't know me. They've never heard of me. Some of you are logging on. We have many, 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 many hundreds of people downloading MP3s. And many people on the other side of the earth have never heard of me, but yet they download the sermons and they listen to the sermons because the Word of God does something in their spirit. I tell you, the Word of God. They haven't known me. They didn't know my name. They don't know what I look like unless they've gone to my website. They've never stepped foot inside my church, but yet they're being blessed. Well, sometimes your blessing comes from people you don't know. If they're teaching the Word of God and acting according to the Word of God, blessing can come. So people go to these great ministers' meetings, and they think, well, I can go to their meeting and get blessed. Well, you can, praise the Lord. But we've had situations in our church, as I was getting ready to say earlier, well, we had recently a young man with a broken back came to the church the first time he came, and God, miracle power went into operation and healed him. We've had deaf people. We've had blind people. We've had lame people healed by the power of God from someone who is not as well known as other people. But the power of God is available in all places at all time if there are people there who are believing them. So here in chapter 5 of 2 Kings, we have this unnamed little girl. Then we have the situation where Naaman goes down and Elisha tells him to go wash in the dirty rivers of Jordan, and he refuses to do it. His pride guy, he said, well, you know, there are a lot cleaner waters other places, and he got upset about it. But then there was another servant, a servant in verse 13 that came to him and said unto him, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? So another servant is just directing him, glory to God. He is his conduit. He's directing him. He's taking his eyes off of his pride and what would be the best for his flesh, and he's directing him back to the word of the living God, and he went and was obedient and came forth cleansed of his leprosy. In other words, his miracle came by those who were unnamed, unknown, and uncelebrated. We found that attitudes are the death knell to the miraculous. As long as he was all huffy and his pride would not allow him to go wash in those dirty waters. Are you listening to me? It was a death knell to the miraculous. He didn't receive the miraculous power of God until he dropped the pride and got real with God and did what the man of God had said to do. Sometimes miracles don't happen in the biggest, the brightest, and most happening. You know, some people just want to be a part of the biggest, the brightest, and the most happening. Well, the thing about the biggest, the brightest, and most happening, those things pass. And you're not the biggest, the brightest, and the most happening. You can look at the athletic endeavor. You can have a team who wins, and they win and win and win and win, and then all of a sudden, they don't win for several years. I mean, they're turning out, 11, 12, 13, 14 victories a year, and all of a sudden they might just a few years later be winning 4, 5, 6. Why? Because the biggest, brightest, and most happening doesn't last forever. And so you better be ready to receive your miracle from wherever God directs you. Are you listening to me? Your miracle might be involved in the unnamed, the unknown, and the uncelebrated. That's why we have to be open to what God is telling us in our spirit and not just be moved by our flesh. You remember the prophet Samuel, and the Lord told him to go to the house of Jesse and anoint there the next king of Israel. Man, he went in, and the first sons of Jesse came before him, and he said, oh, surely because of his stature, his good looks, he was a big dude. And he said, surely this is the anointed of the Lord. And the Lord said, I don't look on the outward appearance, I look on the heart. And the last son that came in, he went through the process of elimination to ask, are there any more? And he said, yeah, we got a little one out here. He's keeping the sheep. I mean, that was like the lowest job, so it went to the youngest one. Are you listening to me now? And he said, well, and so he came in out of the field. He probably smelled badly working with the livestock out in the heat, walking in the sands and in the desert. You can just imagine. But yet that was the one God chose to be the anointed of Israel and in one day lead the people of Israel, that young boy down there. Are you listening to me? So sometimes even those who are spiritually mature, as was Samuel the prophet, he got his eyes over on the happening. He got his eyes over on the glamorous. He got his eyes over on the biggest and the brightest. But the miracle for Israel was in that little shepherd boy that was running around out there who had a heart towards the Almighty God. Let me tell you, my friends, wherever you're at, wherever you're living out through the world, don't ever just block off somebody because they might be small, not heard of. You listen to your spirit because you don't know what those people are doing in their offices, in their bedrooms at night. There's some of them are seeking God with all of their heart, all of their mind. They're raising their voices of praise up to God, studying the Word of God. These people have had contact with God. You might just not have ever heard of them. They're not confused with all of that around. They're seeking God with all of their heart. Well, I tell you what, God will use that kind of person, and we have to be open to it. Now, on this podcast, we're going to continue on, and we're going to look at the subject of taking inventory of what you have, not what you don't have. Sometimes most people have no idea what they contain or possess. Many waste thousands of hours studying their losses or their lack. Some look at what they don't have instead of what they have. What they don't have takes their time. Oh, if I just had more of this. Oh, if I just had more of that. Oh, if I just had this thing happening to me. Oh, if I just had this happen to me. And they spend their time looking at what they don't have, and they don't put any time on looking at what they have. Well, your success many times, my friends, come by taking inventory of what you have at present and taking your eyes off of what you don't have. Are you listening to me? Take inventory of what you have. In many cases, this can be your entry into the miraculous. Now, let's look over here, if you would please, to John, if you're able to look at your Bible. If you're not running through the woods with your Nikes on, you know, with your iPod and headphones stuck in your ears. But if you got a Bible, pull it out here and let's look at John the 6th chapter. And we're going to read a little bit because we want to read the Bible. Verse 1 says, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracle, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" I mean, here we have Philip, and Philip's taking inventory of what he doesn't have. He says, well, we just got this little, but this is we don't have enough to feed all these people. And then we have, glory to God, Andrew coming on the scene and say, what we do have is 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But his question was, what is this compared with so many people that we've got to feed? Folks, I want you to see. Well, look what Jesus did. Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Now, I want you to notice again what happened here in verse 9. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. There was an inventory taken of what they had, and Jesus used what they had. Hallelujah, glory be unto God. He didn't use what they didn't have. He used what they had. He multiplied what they had. It's hard to multiply nothing sometimes. Are you listening to me? But he multiplied what he had. And Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew he was going to multiply what he had. Praise the Lord. Many times we miss our miracle because we haven't taken inventory of what we have. Now in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, well, we ought to just go over there because it's one of my favorite places in the Bible. You know, my mom and daddy, when I was born, named me after the psalmist David. That's where they got the name. And so they named me after him. That's a pretty good person to be named after. I've always liked my name. That's my first name. The second, my middle name, it'll go without talking about it much. Anyway, praise the Lord. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Now, notice what happens. David is wanting to go up by the direction of the Spirit, and his spirit, we're sure, is going to go up against Goliath. And David, in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapters, takes inventory of what he has. And what he found that he had was his sling. The miracle of defeating the Goliath the giant began by David realizing what he had and what was used by him often. You know, others got caught up in what he didn't have. Even Saul got caught up in what he didn't have. He tried to put his own armor on David to protect him. And David said, man, I haven't tried these out. You know, this is not what I'm used to. So David took inventory of exactly what he had and what he had. You have to go deep. Number one, he had faith in God and he knew he was a covenant man. That's number one, what he had. We've all got to do that. But number two, he took inventory and said, I've got a sling and I know how to use this sling and I know my God, based on the covenant, is going to come through for me and this thing is going to bring about my miracle. Hallelujah. Many times we get so caught up in what we don't have, we lose what we have. Well, you can go over with me to 1 Samuel, the 8th chapter, and you can find this is the case. We get so caught up in what we don't have that we lose what we have. Look over at 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5. Israel is wanting a king, and they come to Samuel, And it says, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the matter of the king that shall reign over them. So these people are saying, We want a king. We don't have a king like all the other nations. We want a king. In other words, they were taking inventory of what they didn't have. They weren't taking inventory of what they did have. Now, this is the reason why. Look down, if you would, please, down into, let's go to verse 10. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And he shall cry out in the day because of your king, which he shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Now, the Lord's telling Samuel, and Samuel's prophesying by the anointing of the Spirit on what's going to happen, because they have taken inventory of what they didn't have. And when they get what they didn't have that they thought they wanted, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be harder for their life. I mean, if they would have just kept functioning with God as their king and obeying the Lord God Almighty, the blessings of Deuteronomy 28th chapter, they'd have lived in them every day of their life. But no, it wasn't good enough for them. I mean, they wanted what they didn't have. They wanted to be just like everybody else. Well, friends, sometimes it's better not to be like everybody else, especially in this day and time. You'll come out flaky if you be like a lot of people. Glory to God. But God said, this is what you want. This is what you're going to get. Sometimes we get caught up in what we don't have until we lose what we have. And they lost the great blessing of having God be their complete and total ruler and complete and total guide and complete and total protector. And when man got involved, these problems started. Praise be unto God. It's a spiritual principle. Matthew the 13th chapter verse 17 says, For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now I want to draw your attention, my friends, to things that you have. The thing that you have can be the foundation for great miracles and blessing. Because most people, my friends, they'll stand around and they will complain and gripe and bellyache. If you're complaining, griping, and bellyaching, now bellyaching is a southern word. I mean, you don't hear bellyaching too much in other places, but you hear it towards the south. That's what my mom and daddy used to say. You know, you sit there and bellyache and complain and gripe about things that you don't have. That's not faith. And it's impossible to please God when you don't exhibit faith. You need to be thankful for what the Almighty God has already given you and lift your hands in thanksgiving. Now, I'm not telling you not to believe God for bigger and better, but I'm telling you to quit complaining about what you don't have. Praise the Lord. Instead of complaining about your husband, complaining about him, well, he never does this. He never serves God. I mean, all he wants to do is sit here and watch television and watch football games and do this and do that. And you're always talking about what he's not doing, and you're always talking about what you don't have in a husband. I tell you what, you are laying the groundwork for that to continue. But if you start taking inventory of what you have in that man, and I'm a pastor, I've dealt with this kind of thing many, many times over the years. If you start taking inventory of what you have, oh man, that guy might be out there And he might be working hard every day to bring home, you know, the paycheck and to make it so you have a comfortable life. You need to just start thanking the Lord. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you and glorify you that I have a husband that's out there working for me and providing for me. And I just give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus that that this man is being used to provide for me and to bring in good gifts into our home. And we know, Father God, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. And I know, Father God, that ultimately everything that comes in is coming from your hand. And I just give you thanksgiving and glory. And I pray, Father God, and thank you that the eyes of his understanding will be enlightened, that he will know the hope of your calling. And then you give God thanks look at the man and find out the good things. Praise the Lord. Take inventory of the good things. I'm preaching to somebody out there. Take inventory of the good things. And then you go about and it'll change your attitude towards him. You'll start acting differently towards him. You won't be, you won't be snooty and snotty around him. I mean, you're going to take inventory. You're going to go in there and you're going to cook him the best meals and you're going to live the life of joy and happiness for him. And it tells us in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, that when you do that, he will be won by your conversation. The word conversation is lifestyle. He'll be won by your lifestyle. He's not going to be won by your griping and complaining. And take an inventory. Why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? And why don't you do this? Yes, glory to God, he should be doing some things that he's not doing. But it's not going to come about by you nagging on him. The Proverbs talks about a wife. I mean, some wives, the Bible says in Proverbs, are like a roof that leaks. I mean, just it's annoying. Well, some people need to learn that. And you need to give God thanks for what that means. In some people, you got to search deep. You got to search a long time to take inventory of what you have in them that's good. Oh, brother, you have to take inventory. But you do it, and it'll be basis and a foundation for things to turn around. Because then you can start acting in joy and acting in thanksgiving. Some people lose what they got because they don't take inventory of it. That's exactly what happened to Israel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, that was good enough right there to pay money for, and you got it for free. Praise the Lord. We need to take inventory, hallelujah, of what we have. Because let me tell you something. All of us are walking warehouses of seed. We have something that can be planted. You know, the person that says, well, you know, I just thought I was going to be a preacher. I thought I was going to have a great congregation to preach in. I don't have nothing. I don't preach to anybody. I don't have a great ministry. I'm not doing nothing. Well, you need to take inventory of what you got. You've got efforts that can be a blessing in the body of Christ. You've got things in your life that can be a blessing. And you take those. You're a warehouse of seed and you plant your life on the level that you are at, glory to God, and it shows you something. You have something, and hallelujah, and those who have will be given more. And you plant that into your local church. You plant that. Praise the Lord. You plant that. You be a blessing to people. You be a blessing to your pastor, and the next door will open, the next thing, and your miracle of ministry will come in the future. You just keep planting yourself. You know, I remember years and years ago when I first got it started, I went to college and got a degree and spent several years in college, and then I went to Bible college after that and got my diploma. Like, you know, I just felt that was the thing to do. And then I sewed myself into church, and I started helping somebody, another minister, the pastor, with a radio broadcast. And those were the days when we had to splice tape together, you know, and put on a leader tape and splice it for radio. I mean, it was a lot different than it is now in the digital age. But we started that, and we used to have a little timer, you know, and I'd time them, and I'd cue them, and I'd fade in the music, and I would do all of that for somebody else. And then I would provide the music for somebody else. And I sowed what I had, and it grew and grew and grew. And now, glory be unto God, I have a church. Everything's paid for. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're preaching the gospel around the world. We've been overseas over 80 times, but it didn't start out there. Hallelujah. And it's not going to finish there. But I give God thanks for what I have. There are a lot of things that I want that I don't have yet and that I don't see. There's a lot of things. But glory be unto God. I thank God for what I've got, and I'm putting those into the body of Christ. I have the ability, glory to Jesus, to preach the gospel and to put it on the internet and to get the word of God out to some people who have never heard of me, who have only become familiar with me through the internet. Well, praise the Lord. I'm sowing what I have. I'm not sitting back saying I don't have this. And it just takes you, gives you another step. You go up a little higher, you get something else, glory to God, you're able to do more. Take inventory of what you have, praise the Lord, and then sow it, glory to God. They had the 5 loaves and they had the 2 fishes. Those were seed. David had a sling that he sowed into the ministry. Hallelujah. He didn't lose it. He kept it, and he received more. His miracles begin to happen because he used what he had and sowed what he had. Hallelujah. Something we already possess could be your key to your future, or it probably is the key to your future. It will open the door to your future. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what you presently have, you're going to fail to use it. Number one, you're going to fail to give God praise for it, and you're going to neglect to sow it. That's why you need to take inventory of what you have. You are talented. I'm going to tell you again, you are talented. You have talents that can be a blessing to the body of Christ. You have finances. You might not have very much, but God never said that you had it took very much to sow. You sow according to what you have. You tithe and you sow, glory be unto God. You move according to what you have, and you give God praise for it, and you don't neglect to use it and to sow it. And if you don't know what you presently have, that is the most that you're ever going to have, because you're not going to put it into the kingdom of God. Take inventory. They had 5 loaves, 2 fishes. They took inventory. Till they took inventory, it was not sown into the work of the ministry. And let me tell you what, folks, God, with God, you don't get one for one. Oh, blessed be God. You get back till you're satisfied, the Bible tells us. You get back till you're satisfied. Hallelujah. I love bringing the word of God to you. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Are you listening to me? Now let's take a look over at 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. We all know the story. We've been and looked at this happening several times in our study of miracle. But look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and speaking of Elijah, it's time of famine, said, get thee to Zarephath, and which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse, and behold, I am gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Notice what she said. I have not a cake. She took inventory there for a moment what she did not have. But notice what she finally did. She told him what she had in verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. In other words, you're not going to die, sweetheart. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. You talk about a miracle, my friends. That is a miracle. Praise the Lord. But the first thing she said is, you know, I don't have it. I don't have it. Praise the Lord. But then there was an inventory made. She inventoried what she had. And that inventory of what she had and the using of that which she had was her introduction to her miracle. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know something else she had? She had the ability to listen to the man of God. We all have that ability to listen to the man of God. Next thing, she had the ability to obey the man of God. She had something. She had what it took to bring the power of God on the scene. And the third thing, they had the ability to receive the miracle. Let me tell you, my friends, we all have the ability to listen to what the word of God says through the mouth of God, or through the mouth of a man. We all have the ability to obey the word of God that comes forth from the mouth of a man. Hallelujah. And we all have the ability to receive miracles. So you need to evaluate and inventory what the Lord has given you, your talents, your skills, your knowledge, and those things which you have that can be sown for your miracle that is coming. You've been listening to Pastor David Oakes. Our time has run out. Be blessed in Jesus' name.